You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
K. Show, 98.7 ESPN. Peter and Don, as Michael, of course, calling the Yankees as we speak. Let's get a quick tournament update. As we get the 4 o'clock hour started, brought to you by our friends over at Schweppes. All eyes on the women's Final Four Friday. South Carolina and NC State in the early game, followed by UConn and Iowa. Sheesh! That's your tournament update presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above-the-rim refreshment and is proud to sponsor the Big East Conference. Enjoy the madness and take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale. Hey, Don, should we go back to the busy phones?
I think that's the right, prudent thing to do.
All right, we got a Knicks call to get to, but let's get to some people who've been on hold for a little while. Let's go to Fred in Atlanta. Hey, Fred.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How you doing, Fred?
Good. I want to talk about the Judge slow start, and I've got a would you here at the end. I think we all agree the Yankees only go as good as Judge, and that's why it's kind of important to talk about. And the conventional wisdom has kind of been that the Yankees just want him to get some more at-bats to get his swing going. But what if it's deeper than that? What if it goes back to last year with a toe injury, and this is going to be a chronic thing, and now we have him signed up for the next 7-8 years, and it could just be, I've had toe injuries, and they stick with you for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And this slow start just could be that toe flaring up again.
Well, I don't know that to be the case, but I think that you're fair in your level of concern because he was in and out of the lineup in the spring. Clearly, they're going to be very focused on trying to keep him healthy, and now it's already come at the expense of a slow start. So I think all this is part and parcel to a long contract and how important he is to the team. So there's always going to be some level of concern. Concern, Peter, to me seems like the wrong word because then that you're up all night worried about it. But, hey, he's only the best player on the team, and they've got zero chance of being successful if he doesn't have a really good season. So he's off to a slow start. Not a big deal, but, I think any good organization is going to keep a look-see in what's going on.
Well, and this is what makes the Judge conversation always interesting, is that there are always people who have a different perspective on his health and availability. And, Don, I am of the school that it's a concern. He is a, to me, there are different words for it, but he's injury prone to me. And, again, I think he's incredible. I think they made the right decision to sign him. I think he's going to be an all-time great. I think he could end up table one of all-time great Yankees. But I think if you pretend that his body's fragility is not a conversation, I think you're delusional. So who knows? Who knows what's going on? Maybe he's just a little slow coming out of the offseason. Maybe he's feeling something. You can't quite be sure with Judgy.
Now, here's what I predict. I think he's playing today because he's struggling and they want him in the lineup. And he's obviously going to be in the lineup on opening day. But let's say he struggles in this game, gives 0-for-4. He's playing on opening day, and if he struggles on opening day, why do I have a feeling that he might get Sunday off, the day game after the night game, just to see if he can get his swing back? I mean, this is what goes on. And the bigger the player, there's always going to be a certain level of concern, right? We do it with every sport, right? Put football aside because there's so few games, so every game is important. But I go through it with the Rangers. As good as the Rangers are, and right now they're the best team in the National Hockey League, it'll be, Kreider hasn't scored 5-on-5 in, 5 games. There's always some conversation because the stakes are a lot higher. You're held to a higher standard. So when a major piece to the puzzle is struggling early on and your objective is to win a championship, yeah, it's going to be a difference than when if Pete Alonso gets off to a slow start when the expectations aren't nearly as high. So I think it just comes with the territory.
Let's keep things going and go to Frank in Jersey. What's up, Frank?
Good afternoon on this wet Wednesday, boys. Got a question for both of you and Peter about WrestleMania. This has all the earmarks of being an epic, epic show, especially coming out of Philadelphia. Who knows where this championship thing is going to go? I could easily see this swinging over to Cody Rhodes. I found it really interesting on the beatdown last week that they very prominently showed Cena and Austin on the trailer. You got to wonder if they may be part of this thing going in. I wouldn't be surprised to see The Rock turncoat on Roman Reigns, being he's now the self-appointed final boss.
That is the final boss. That's right.
And I think a great interview maybe someday would be Triple H and Stephanie McMahon on your show if you could swing it somehow. Now, a question for both of you fellas. do you ever think of having, maybe especially during the football season or maybe once a month, the woman's perspective and having Nancy, Jody, and Lady Hatton on the show?
For, Lady Hatton, that's actually been the name since she's been married. She hasn't made it public yet. But she went from Miss Hatton to Lady Hatton after the marriage. That's interesting. Nancy's, you know, her big thing with sports is the Giants. I don't know if anybody really cares. But that's not a bad idea if the situation were to present itself.
I mean, listen, I'll tell you this. Natalie would definitely have no interest with regard to it being, like, sports-based. Like, Natalie's a weird one because she's not like Jody. Like, Jody, as far as we know, has no interest in sports, correct?
I don't think she does, no. I don't think so.
See, I'm pretty sure Jody has literally zero interest in sports. Natalie is not like that. Natalie can actually, in the moment, get very into most sports. She can get into a fight, certainly into a Knicks basketball game. She can be into any of it, but she also doesn't care enough to, like, speak about any of it. But she will love going to the game and will participate, but she's not spending her time talking about it. Does that make sense?
But I guess because she's a professional, Jody could definitely come on the air and talk about something. I don't know. If certain, I can't think of one off the top of my head. Maybe the women's basketball, which my wife has no interest in either. But if it was something that we wanted to get a woman's perspective, to ask our significant others, if they had an opinion on it, yeah, well, let's have them on. Not force it, but if you're having a conversation with Natalie about something in sports and she had like a unique perspective, would it be the end of the world to say, well, why don't we carve out some time in tomorrow's show to get you to express that feeling? Right?
Sure, but would it be more interesting to just do like a fun, like a newlywed game kind of situation?
Wow. A fun newlywed. So then we could say whoopee. That's where that word got used a lot during the newlywed game. What was the other game where this is going back a ways? Like, the significant other would be, like, on a TV screen with the headphones on, and then it kind of was like...
The dating game.
No. It's going to... Somebody on social media will let me know. An older person probably will remember. But something like that, where they were just married. It wasn't newlywed, but it was a similar where you'd be asking different, like, things about them to see if you can get it right.
It's a newlywed game of Jace, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it was kind of newlywed game of Jace. That would be, because there's three of it, it would actually work.
Exactly.
We should do that for like social media or something. Or maybe Yes can, during the off season.
Or a beach bash sometime.
Oh, that's really good. That would be fun.
It would be kind of good. Let's go to Blanderson Hooper, who wants to talk about the struggling New York Knicks. Hey, Blanderson.
Also, Blanderson had a very good point on social media you should bring up on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, before I get to my Knicks point, did I hear correctly? Did Spike make a comment before about someone being Rain Man-like?
Yes. So that kind of tells us where we're at. But he didn't want to reveal anything, but then revealed everything.
Are you saying, Blanderson, are you saying that's not what you want from a description?
Probably not. As somebody who is a teacher and works in education nowadays and is very in tune with kinds of words that you're supposed to use and not use when describing people, Rain Man-like is probably not
That leans a little closer to like the Matt Dillon character from There's Something About Mary, his sort of description.
Mongo.
Putting Mongo in the cage.
You didn't have to say it, but we move on.
You want to stay away from that. But in terms of the Knicks, I'm a little nervous at the moment, I got to be honest. I mean, we were either in the two or half a game out of the two a week ago, three losses. There's only so much Brunson can do on his own. But my question is this. If Randall nor Anunoby come back this year, because, I mean, with each passing day, it gets more and more likely. Do the Knicks get a pass on this season if they don't get out of the first round? Or are they good enough where they need to get out of the first round, injuries be damned?
I need to know the matchup. Because you're essentially worse than you were last year, right? You'd have no Randall, and OG wasn't here last year. But, Peter, you lose to the Magic, I think you have a right to be disappointed. You lose to the Sixers with a healthy Embiid, then I think you might just say, hey, listen, it just wasn't our year. But I need the matchup. Shouldn't they still beat the Pacers? Shouldn't they still beat the Magic? They seem to have the Cavaliers' number. Like, there's certain teams I just don't think you'd live with a loss in a seven-game series. But if they've got a healthy Embiid, Philadelphia, and they're playing well down the stretch, could you really beat yourself up losing to them?
It's a really interesting situation because it depends how you get there. Like, if the reason they end up in a bad matchup, Don, is because this team just can't win and they continue to lose close games and miss big shots, miss free throws, keep losing, then get a bad matchup, then lose in the first round, I think that the base would be very upset. But if they play all right and they get themselves into a decent series and they lose a hard-fought first round, but they never get back Anunoby or Julius, Don, I don't think the fans would kill them if they lost in a hard-fought series to a good team. But I do think there'd be disappointment because at this point, you believe this team can win. But that's why this game is so big. Yeah. Because this next game, Don, they lose four straight. You're starting to worry they're going to the play-in game.
Well, right, and if they end up in the play-in, then I think all bets are off at that point, right? So I need to see how these finals, seven games left that they have play out. But because if they lose like four or five of them, then you might have any expectations going in to the playoffs. So let's see how it bears out. Tomorrow is going to be a huge game against Sacramento. It's a team that they beat up in Sacramento, but it's a team that has the same record as them. But if they win the game, you'll feel like they stabilize things. A fourth straight loss, and you might be destined to go into the play-in. Donna lets us know that the game show that I was thinking of was called Tattletales. So if you want to look into that, that was the name of the game show. I knew our social media would come through. Tattletales.
I don't remember Tattletales.
Shake anything loose at all?
No, nothing. I got nothing for you.
Wasn't John Davidson that was the host? Who's the guy that was?
He did host a lot, though, the Davidson.
Who was the John Davidson of Jace? I could picture him. I just can't think of his name. I'm gonna look that
Mark
up.
Mark Summers.
Yes. I think you're right. I'm going to find
I literally was just throwing out the first name that popped in my head, so I doubt it.
But I'm going to go look up Tattletales and see what happens.
Burt Convoy.
Burt Convey is
Burt the Convey.
I'm not going to beat up Tom because he's 12, relative to me. I mean, Tom's a young man, and these shows were off the air before I think his parents met. So I'm not going to
Tom, how old are you?
I'm 24.
24, Peter. Come on. I wear clothes that are 24 years old.
That's a different thing.
I'm not in nice clothes.
I wore a shirt today. My shirt today is legitimately from 1987.
Yeah.
Tom and I were in a thought.
What year were you born, Tom?
1999.
I just want you to know that
maybe
when
he remembers the 99 World Series.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. And by the time Tom was born, Don, I'd been a 5-year sex veteran.
What?
Prime of my career.
You?
Well, yeah.
By 99,
but Michael still hadn't shown any interest in women, by the way.
I was celebrating my 15th anniversary.
In 99?
Yeah, 99.
No, 15th dating anniversary.
No, in 99?
Yeah.
Well, it was 15 years of actual consummation. I was a very fortunate 16-year-old.
In 1984?
Yeah.
Hard bodies. Wow, you are young, Tom. That is fascinating.
Wow, yeah, Tom. So 99, man. I was 31 years old. That's sick.
It's sick.
1999. That was only 2 years away from the station's existence. Tom is only 2 years older than our radio station.
No, listen. I got to tell you, it's so. Yeah, at Hot 97, it's weird because both of the radio stations I work at are bizarre for different reasons. But this one's bizarre because we don't see that many people. But at Hot, there are like young people around who now. The craziest thing is over the last 10 years, Don, they've gotten so young. Like when I was 33, 34, and a 25-year-old started, 24-year-old, it didn't really seem like they were that young. But in the 10 years that have passed, they still bring in these 24-year-olds, and now I'm 44.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'll tell you that. I don't like it. Not one bit.
What was I doing at 20? So 24, what year was that for me then? You know how I am with math.
24?
24, that was 92? 1992, I was 24 years old. I had just started in May of 92, I started at Sports Phone. So I was at least on the air at Jay, so I was doing updates. And I had just graduated college because I spent 2 years longer than I should have because I spent too much time at the radio station and in class. So it took me 6 years to graduate college. The first year was a complete animal house. Like I went from Catholic school to where you don't take attendance. I was like remember Jim Morrison when he was fat and had a beard? That was me in college. I just went nuts. I was free. So the first year I was automatically on academic probation my first year in college.
Wait,
so
that was a throwaway. Your dad didn't just beat you to death.
Oh my God, there was conversation. He was not happy with me. But remember, I got my brother in the family that balances things out.
Right.
So he had a lot. David was causing a lot of other problems that had my father's attention. So me almost flunking out of college was almost like a bonus.
Oh, my God. That was light work compared to what Dave was doing?
What happened?
I know. So what was Dave doing? I mean, was he fighting people in the street?
It was a lot of what he was doing, but it was also a lot of what he's not doing. I'll tell you a quick story about my brother because he's a success story, so I think he won't get mad at it. He was working at the Grand Union, which he affectionately called the Goo because it was GU.
GU. I love it.
So, and he got let go, probably for not going in or whatever. And so he comes into the house, and my dad's like, "Why aren't you at work?" And he's like, they let me go. And my father's shaking my head. And my brother starts to do the Ren and Stimpy dance. Remember Ren and Stimpy?
I loved Ren and Stimpy. Big fan.
He's doing some dance. My father looks at me and goes, "See, this is what I got to deal with." The guy got fired from the Goo, and he's excited. So my problems were like a gem. My father skipped to deal with me. I can't remember the song from Ren and Stimpy.
I loved Ren and Stimpy, though.
It'll pop into my head at some point.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Yeah, happy, happy. Yeah, he's doing that. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Wow, that's what your brother did. He did the happy, happy, joy, joy dance.
Yes, because he didn't have to work at the Goo anymore. So, but believe me, my brother's moved on to bigger. He's a bigger star than I am, and I'm very happy for it. But the point is that so it took me a while. So I had graduated college, started working at Sports Phone. That's what I was doing at 24. What were you doing at 24? You weren't running the board for an afternoon drive show, I'll tell you that.
Oh no, I don't want to make Tom feel bad, but I think I was doing more.
What were
I
you
was
doing?
Very I was moving around at 24. Let's see, 24. No, 24 was a step back. So okay. At 24, it's 03. I'm actually sort of figuring it out again.
Okay.
I'd probably been fired already from my FM jobs. But I'd already done on-air gigs at the biggest hip-hop and rock stations in D.C.
Now, we should mention Tom has a tremendous baseball podcast that he does. And that podcast is called again, Tom?
The Diamond Duo Podcast.
There you go. So he's
That was your big plug for the Diamond Duo Podcast, Don? You didn't even know the name of it. You fell apart on it.
Well, listen, you take what you can get, right? Yeah, right? I didn't have to do what I did.
I'm just flattered it's even mentioned.
I don't remember it, but I ask you, how's it going? I think it's in hiatus right now. They're having some trouble. But
Is that true? Tom?
No, we're recording a new episode tonight.
Okay. So and is this your first of the season?
Yes, first of the regular season.
What do you plan on focusing on?
Just opening day weekend stuff, just going over the biggest stories, talking about how the Mets are a failure right now and the Yankees season is over because Aaron Judge can't hit the ball.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Well, there you go. You listen to this show. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Kieran in Massachusetts. Hey, Kieran.
Hi, how you doing? I'm going to run through some things Richard style. Number one, are you guys familiar with the Capitol Grill down at Rockefeller Center?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Because on Saturday the 6th, we're having an event. If you're tired of the election shenanigans, if you're a Jeff Passan fan, we're marching to the Capitol on the 6th. Okay? Otherwise, you're not going to have a show anymore.
I love it.
Otherwise, we're not going to have a show anymore. I appreciate the directness of the quote.
That was
a little on the nose.
Oh, my God.
I love it. So just to be clear, April 6th, marching to the Capitol Grill.
Correct.
I love it.
All right, good, good.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, sure.
So, Don, I need your hockey brain.
Yes.
Can't think of the right word. So this is a couple years ago. I'm a big sports guy, but mostly baseball, football. I enjoy watching a hockey and basketball game every once in a while. So I'm at work and talking to a coworker about sports, Yankees, I can't remember. And Derek Jeter comes up and he goes, "Oh, Derek Jeter, you know his middle name?" And I said, "No." And he goes, it's Sanderson. And I go, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Named after, you know, Derek Sanderson."
Right.
I'm like, Brooms. Okay, I don't know who that is. And he goes, "You don't know who Derek Sanderson is?"
And you live in Massachusetts.
No.
Yeah, well, I live in Massachusetts, but I grew up in Fairfield County, and I only moved to Massachusetts after college.
And how old are you?
I'm 34.
Okay, so you didn't see him play.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Donnie's fine.
Because I saw that you were on hold, and I wanted to come up with an analogy, and I think Peter would be the perfect person to break the tie, or even Anthony. That would be like a 34-year-old growing up in New York and not knowing who Joe Pepitone was. That would be the correlation that I would come up with. Both were okay players that had huge personalities and drug problems. So if a New Yorker didn't know Joe Pepitone, I don't know if I'd get mad at him. So I don't think I'd get mad at you. 34, never saw him play. He was a flamboyant guy, but not a great player. You weren't a Bruins fan,
and so that's about this for like years.
Yeah, but you know who he is now. It might be worth a look. He was an interesting character. He's still with us. But that would be the analogy. So would you beat somebody up, Peter, if like Anthony Pusick didn't know who Joe Pepitone was? You don't know who Joe Pepitone is.
That would be bad for a lot of reasons.
I only know who Joe Pepitone is because of the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Okay.
My grandma babysat his brother's kids or somebody's kids. So if I didn't know who Joe Pepitone was, that would be a big problem.
In your family?
Yeah, no. My dad and my uncle and my grandma got his family seats because she would babysit his kids from time to time or his family's kids from time to time.
That's a big
Judge
deal.
Home run,
Aaron,
by the way.
Judge home run. It's over. Everything's back
serious?
To normal. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Everything's fine.
I'm telling you one thing. We can joke about it, but it does feel good to see, doesn't it?
And I see a morbidly obese fan wearing a Mariano Rivera jersey celebrating in the pool.
Oh, I love it.
Because he didn't hit it into the pool, but he hit it into the vicinity of the pool. So
I can't believe how hard Boone is going after the Tory.
I want to text Michael. They had to have brought it up on the air. Like, it's that identical. Like, every time they show
up. I'm going to text them.
Text them, because it had to come up in conversation during the game. I've seen Boone in the dugout a billion times. I've never seen this look.
Have you guys mentioned Boone going for the Tory look today? Let's get into drop madness in the
meantime. Oh, yeah.
We remember this time, boys.
We got it. A little late, but we got it.
A little late, but the voting is up already. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. The Sweet 16, the Final Four matchups, the two seeds in action, the two seed in the Flub region.
20 years ago today.
Oh, yeah.
Yankee related.
So 20 years ago today. So that is 2014.
Up against, and once again, it's in action, which means Jacob is not working.
Hit the post, but the backhand, that one was.
A very game six seed. The two seed in the funny region.
He's not cool. His voice is weird. He's kind of a dork. His brother's a tool. His girlfriend's annoying.
Facing one of the toughest opponents in Drop Madness history. You know it. I know it. Anybody that listens to the show and participates in Drop Madness knows it.
I've got a team that stinks.
A Don 11 seed that yells.
It's impossible. Let's be honest. It's
not.
Impossible
listen,
to beat.
Down early. Just going to say, down early.
Peter's
Mahomes
drop
ran
is better.
Down early. Okay.
I don't like it. I need that. The Mahomes rant deserves love. I'm going to go vote for it right now.
I think you should. The troubling region 2 seed.
With a perfect read. Nails every read.
Oh, my God. He just punched the computer
and
hard.
Up against, again, one of the tournament favorites, a 3 seed.
Your face against the freaking television screen, and you can't remember who didn't punt.
Peter, isn't it amazing that in a calendar year we could have, like, 5 different screaming drops, and none of them are from the same rant?
It's getting unbelievable. The entire Final Four is going to be Don yelling.
I have to take a look at that and see what the possibility of that
could
be.
It may be possible.
I have to see what that could be. 2 seed, Nether region.
That's not true.
Oh. Up against, you want to talk about stinks, Paul and Trenton, number 3.
He stinks.
The best way to say stinks in the world.
Up against the best way to say that's not true.
That's true. Yeah. Or not true.
Stinks is down early, but it's close.
It's very close. TMKS ESPN results during ENN.
I so look forward to that, and we look forward to hearing from you right here on the K Show. Give us a call. One line's open. We got Richard. Oh, Richard in Manhattan. We got Fred, Tristan, Ed. 1-800-919-3776. We're talking Knicks, talking Yankees. Aaron Judge hits a home run. How do you like them apples? K Show 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, the baseball season is now here, but you are still holding on to that winter weight. Why? For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut are available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET. Lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. Go to njdiet.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
And that was a young
happy joy.
Dave LaGreca.
Happy enough. That's right.
Happying after losing his job at the Goop.
Right. Now, what made it even worse is my dad was not a fan of Ren and Stimpy, so for all he knew, my brother wrote that song.
Right.
Because of the sheer joy of not working.
Oh, really? Your dad wasn't a big Ren and Stimpy guy, you're saying?
No. No, he wasn't. He, at that stage, which is scary because the stage of life he was in is exactly the stage of life I'm in right now. Crossword puzzles and reruns of MASH.
Let's continue on here on the K Show, 1-800-919-3776. We'll talk some reruns of MASH in a little bit. Also, Don, Stefan Diggs, do you happen to have the drop, Anthony or Tom, over there that's appropriate when we talk about Stefan Diggs? There's really one moment in the history of the show. There are people out there who believe it's the greatest drop in history. I don't, but I think it's iconic.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stefan Diggs, because they said everybody.
That happened.
Yeah, it's that. It's J.D. LeMayo. It's D.J. Martinez. There's all these things. They're very confusing. But, yes, Stefan Diggs will be a Houston Texan, which is good news if you're the New York Jets. Good news if you're the Houston Texans. Not really so sure about what's been going on with the Buffalo Bills this offseason, Don.
Well, they're trying to get out of their cap situation, and it's becoming a, you start losing players. But that's a big blow for Allen and this offense. And, it's good bad news for the Jets to me. Overall, it's more good news because I think their best path to the playoffs is winning this division. They've already got Buffalo's number. Buffalo's taken a step back this year. You could still make the case that the Bills are better, but clearly the gap has been closed, and you got to feel good about winning the division. But it strengthens Houston as, I think, the favorite to win the South, as they did last year. But then you've got Jacksonville with a healthy Lawrence. They join the wild card race. So if the Jets don't win the division, I think that you're going to see either Houston or Jacksonville win that division, or one of them get the wild card. And what is Indianapolis? Are they in contention? With a healthy quarterback? So it's strengthening a team in the AFC, but it definitely comes at the expense of a rival in your division. So I think overall it's good news for the Jets. Do you think the Jets are better than the Bills right now?
Listen, this is the conversation we need to have. Maybe, Don. Maybe. But I'm still such a skeptic on this thing ever coming together, on us ever seeing Aaron even play.
Hmm.
It's hard for me to just go on face value and let's look at the moves they've made in the offseason that are pretty good, and they have made a few recently that are worth being excited about, and let's just assume we're getting Aaron Rodgers of what, full 2 years ago? It's hard for me to bank on that. If somehow Aaron Rodgers is what he's supposed to be, then yeah, I think you could argue they're in a good position here. And Buffalo is taking what feels like a step back. And as you pointed out in our pre-show meeting, and we can get more into it later, the path has to be through this division because that's a tough conference. So Buffalo getting worse, obviously, is something you want if you're a New York Jets fan. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Why not, Don?
Hi, Don, Richard. Peter, before I get to Thibodeau and the Met rainout, Derek Sanderson came to the Bruins 66-67. He was the first bon vivant hockey player. Good-looking guy. You know who he looked like, Don? Tom Selleck.
Yeah, with the mustache, sure.
Yep, yep, and he was good-looking, and he flaunted it. Now, he joined that Bruin team the year before the expansion. Oddly, Boston had the only American-born player in hockey at that time, Tommy Williams. I remember that. One hockey American player at that time. All right, Thibodeau, you guys heard his rant yesterday?
Yeah.
260 players played in the NBA last night. 260. Do you know that Jalen Rose attempted the third most foul shots?
Brunson, you mean.
Only Embiid and Anthony Brunson. Edwards. He attempted more foul shots than 99% of the players that played yesterday, and Thibodeau is complaining. He may be getting fouled, but so are the other players, because when you're better than, when you do what 99% of the other players didn't do, there's something going on. So Thibodeau is way off base there. Now, the Met rainout. They start the season at March 28th. You go to September 30th. That's 190 days. 190. There are 162 games. You have 28 days to play around with. Now, they waste 4 days on the All-Star break when they should only waste three. Anyway, how many times did the Mets don't play on Labor Day, don't play on July 4th, don't play on Memorial Day, but they've got to play on a rainy 40-degree weather at night again in April? Makes no sense. Now, you're going to tell me that they're not coming back. Well, why do you schedule a team in April at night against the team that you're not coming back against? Makes no sense. You're going to play these early games? Play them against teams in your division. So if they get rained out or it's too cold or bad weather, how can you put fans through that yesterday?
See, that to me is point guard level, Richard. Honestly.
Well, one last thing, fellas. One last one. Well, Peter, you're going to love this.
Okay.
And the key question here is still, why do the women play best of three in the majors still when the men play best of five? I know it's always been that way, Peter, but why is it still that way? Can you answer that for me?
No, I actually can't. I don't know why they think women wouldn't have the stamina to play a five-set match any less than the men would. I don't have an answer. It's actually a weird one. There's certain things you get, right, in terms of weight, strength, certain things that are differences between the genders that are just sort of inherent. But, Don, I actually, to Richard's point, I don't know why the women play three sets. Why couldn't they play five? They could.
They just don't want to change it, and I don't know that they obviously should. Now, but I do want to give him his flowers for the point about, you know how the weather is in New York in March and April, so load it up in division rivalries so that you've got multiple opportunities to be able to make up the game, or have some of these Northeast teams, like the Yankees starting on the road in Arizona, makes sense. You know, have the Mets at least maybe play down in Miami to start the season where you know the games are going to get played. But to have Detroit come in, interleague game, a team you're not going to face again this year, a team that not coming back this year, why would you have them play in a time of year where there's a likelihood of a postponement? That is a great point by Richard.
Yeah, really, really solid. Of course, he couldn't leave it alone, though. He had a chance to get out.
He can't have nice things.
He can't have nice things. He had to keep going. Let's go to Tristan, Long Island. Hey, Tristan.
You're unbelievable. How's my Boone impression? You're unbelievable.
That wasn't bad.
That was
I didn't hate it.
Well, shout out to Joe Torre. I mean Aaron Boone. I'm getting them confused today.
Did Michael get back to you, by the way, Peter?
He wrote back and said, I said, have you guys mentioned Boone going for the Torre look today? He said, no. How so?
Oh, so he doesn't know, then I don't know what to tell you. He's not looking at his monitor.
Maybe I wrote
get a picture and send it to him, but I'm sorry.
I said, look at how he's wearing his hat. The whole look today. All right, Tristan, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I'm just I have faith in Boone. I want him here next year. I think he's doing a great job with the lineup. I've never had a problem, but with Soto in the lineup, it changes everything. And I like Labor there, but with DJ coming back and eventually Dominguez, do we ever see Soto or even flirt with Judge leading off again? Because I mean, not everyone has a clear leadoff man like Jose Altuve.
Well, Soto seemed to really want not leadoff, but it could make sense that you could have Soto. If, as long as you have Soto protecting Judge. So if you had Soto one and then have Judge bat second, which he did before Soto got here, we'll see. I don't know if he has any appetite to do that. Soto, I mean. Like, he may not want to do that because you do reduce RBI opportunities and all that. I think LeMahieu makes the most sense to be the leadoff hitter when he comes back. I don't know if Torres is necessarily suited for that. But maybe Michael can answer that as far as if there's any conversation about where could Soto lead off. Would he want to do that? We'll have to wait and see.
Let's go to Joe. Wants to talk some Rangers in Bloomfield. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Hope you're doing good, Peter Dunn. Hope you're staying dry. First off, I would like to issue a slight apology. I did call into the show around December and demand some more Rangers coverage. Got a little testy. Couldn't stay in the kitchen. But most importantly, it was just bad radio. And so I do apologize for bad radio.
I don't even remember it, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Massive game tonight. Huge stuff going on for the New York Rangers. Don, do you know how many points Alexi Lafreniere has this season?
Alexi Lafreniere has, 25? I guess he's got, he's in the 40s. I want to say 47?
52. 13 52. More than last season.
Yeah, listen, he's got more goals than he's ever had. He's got more points than he's ever had. He has been terrific for this team.
They're on fire, and this game, I don't really care about the Devils. I don't really care about the sweep. I just care about my points. We need 5 over the Hurricanes. They have a patty cake schedule and have had it for all of March. We've had to play 3 games while they've been off since Saturday. So this is essential. The Devils' power play stinks. Their goaltending stinks. Listen to game misconduct. Donny Pucks, take it away.
You,
also, add Anthony's name to the intro.
Listen, that's a lot of heavy lifting, and I don't know if we'll get it around to do it. The guy that would have to do it is Anthony. You know how he feels about doing that. But during the off season, we'll work on a new picture. We'll get everything worked on there. Follow my logic here, Peter. The Rangers want to do well. They don't want to close out the season limping into the playoffs. But here is the positive byproduct of losing out to Carolina for the division.
Okay.
They would match up with Philly or the Islanders or the Capitals. Like that's a better matchup for them than if they win the Metropolitan Division but not the conference and they end up getting Tampa in the first round. Now, if they win the President's Trophy or win the conference as the one seed, then they can get that same matchup that they would get finishing in second place in the Metropolitan Division, any combination of the Islanders, Flyers, or Capitals. So they're kind of in a weird spot where they want to finish as high as they can, but if they can't finish as high as they can, then you'd want them to finish kind of as low as they can for the better matchup. Just go out and win and play the best hockey you can and let the chips fall where they may. But you know what I'm talking about. Like the Tampa Bay Lightning or the NHL version of the Miami Heat. Like, nobody wants to have to play them in the first round. But if you win the division but not the conference, that's going to be your matchup. So, but since you can't dictate where you're going to finish, you're not tanking games, I'm with the caller. You lost a bad game to Pittsburgh. Hats off to Sidney Crosby. He's been playing out of his mind, Peter. And Pittsburgh's now back in the conversation. They're only 3 points out of a playoff spot now with, I think, 7 to play. But the point is, go out there and just win. Finish strong, finish healthy, and let's get the playoffs started already.
Let's. Here's what we should do, Don. We should take a break like gentlemen.
Oh, absolutely.
All right? Take more of your phone calls on the other side. Talk some Yankees, talk some Knicks, talk some Jets, some NFL in general. And I have something very, very important to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, because the sports calendar is loaded, all right? And FanDuel's making it even more exciting to get in on the action, because right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any $5 bet. That's right. You win a $5 bet, you get $200 that you can use to bet the tournament, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and so much more. Head over to FanDuel.com/Peter and make your first bet a big win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-OPEN-Y or text OPENY at 467-369.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila!
Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Jim Cornette, the famed wrestling manager, I was told, bashed me on his big popular wrestling podcast.
Oh, why? What happened?
And had to hit me with the obligatory, who the F is Peter Rosenberg? How many years do I have to be on WWE television before someone like Jim Cornette can stop pretending to not know who I am?
He knows who you are.
Oh, he absolutely knows who I am. I've met him face to face. He knows who I am. Jim, I know you haven't done anything in wrestling in a long time, but for God's sake, you watch the product. Who am I? I mean, listen, I'm not you. I don't have the wrestling mind of Jim Cornette, but I've been contributing here for a long time. And furthermore, he was saying I misspoke on the documentary because of the way I described a federation that he owned, right, and that he ran. It was OVW. It wasn't even his fed. Anyways, Jim Cornette had a problem with how I described this thing in a documentary. Like, dude, do you not know how these documentaries work? Like, come on, you have to have sat down for a documentary before. Like, sometimes, I don't know if you've done this before, Don, but sometimes when you are doing these documentaries, because Cornette is known for he started back in the day, Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Okay.
And then he became the head booker and part owner of OVW, which then became WWF's developmental territory. He was complaining about the fact that I said it was absorbed by WWE. He's literally arguing semantics about something that, it's not even a relevant point in the documentary. The documentary is about the wrestlers who wrestled there. This is like a footnote piece of the documentary. And sometimes when you're doing these documentaries, guys, let me open up the curtain a little bit. Sometimes when you're trying to story tell in the documentaries, the producers will be like, hey, give us a general thought here so we can explain to the audience what this is that we're talking about. You know what I mean? Because the average person who stumbles on an A&E documentary about wrestlers has no idea what the hell Ohio Valley Wrestling is.
Right.
So they're just like, can you explain to the people without neck beards what Ohio Valley Wrestling is? It's not the most important thing that you're saying. It's just a piece to get you from point A to point B. And then you have a dumb hick like Jim Cornette babbling on in his basement, staring at his tennis racket, saying, who am I? Who am I? I'm the guy who's been on wrestling television the last decade.
Still think he carries around the tennis racket?
He has to carry it around if he wants anyone to recognize him, for God's sake, unless he's signing autographs at a mall in Trenton. Jesus, Jim. Take some time out of signing autographs at a mall and watch the product. You'll see me on TV every once in a while. God, they got me all riled up.
Yeah, it sounds it. Good.
Who the hell is he? I mean, he has a great wrestling mind. I'll never knock that. But don't be a bad guy. There's no need. Now, speaking of wrestling, let's go to Fred in the car. This will be interesting.
Hey, Don, Peter.
What's up, Fred?
How are you guys? All righty. That's pretty ironic that you just went off on wrestling. And I've been listening to you guys for a while now. I love the show. You guys do an awesome job. But, Peter, since you're so into the WWE and you guys cover college sports, basketball, football.
A little bit, yes.
A little bit, right. I was just wondering why we can't get a shout-out to the college NCAA Division I wrestlers. They just had their national championships like 2 weeks ago, and there's a couple of guys from college, like Gable Stevenson, that are heading towards the WWE, and I have two questions, really.
Well, let me just stop you here. Do you really think we're going to cover college wrestling? I mean, this is a show that barely covers college football. We talk about the NCAA tournament because one of the biggest events in all sports. Mm. But I mean, come on. Okay. I mean, with all due respect, I appreciate someone loving their niche sport. We don't talk about really men's and women's tennis. Oh, we don't really hit soccer.
Well, the Frozen Four is going on right now. We don't talk about it. Right, I mean, just, right. You know, and just if there's a interesting local story, but why, you know, we play the hits, as we like to say, and I don't know if college wrestling is ever going to be something our audience would be interested in. So, what are your two questions?
One, if Gable Stevenson, big time college NCAA wrestler, went to the WWE, but I haven't really heard anything. If I've actually heard that he's coming back to college. I was just wondering what was going on there. And not more like, my question wasn't really why you don't cover wrestling. I get it. But, if you know, a little shout out every once in a while, you know, especially during the college championships. That's all.
Listen, I love
my call, guys.
Thanks, Fred. I love you for repping for your sport. No, we will never talk about amateur wrestling. It won't even get a shout out. I'm just being honest with you, Fred. We love you. And I love that you listen. We will never. There's not ever. Any circumstance. I mean, Don, I don't know what would have to happen. If Michael Jordan decided he was coming back to sports and said he was going to pursue amateur wrestling, then we would talk about it. Short of that, no, we're never going to talk about it.
But this drives me crazy even with the hockey calls. Anthony was nice enough to put him on hold, so he was going to get on the air. So instead of complaining about something which is ridiculous, hey, shout him out. Hey. You got the national championships going on right now. Shout out this guy that's going to go to the WWE. All right, thanks for the call. You did it. That's it. Instead of calling, complaining about it, when there is no shot we'd ever talk about that because, you know, God love him, who would be interested? Like you said, college, we talk college football, barely, because there's really not a local team that's any good. We talk about college basketball during the tournament because everybody's talking about it. We don't talk college baseball. We don't talk college hockey. We don't talk anything college, really. And we talk wrestling because, quite frankly, Peter's interested in it. He brings it to the table, and there are people that listen to our show that are interested in WWE professional wrestling.
Whether it's sports or not, here's the thing. It's monstrously popular. It's the same reason we would be more likely, Don, to talk about movies or the Golden Globes or a big TV show. All of those things, it doesn't have to be that they're perfectly sports, but they have to be popular. It's just, the problem is, while wrestling is a really big amateur sport in high school and college, it's just not a thing anyone consumes on television. I joke, when people say to me that I'm into wrestling, and they go, oh, pro wrestling like Hulk Hogan? I go, no, I'm so creepo who goes to high school gyms to watch kids. Well, what do you think I'm into? No one is into amateur wrestling whose kid isn't wrestling or they're not a former wrestler. That's not a thing. Is that wrong for me to say? I've never met a human being who doesn't wrestle or have it in their family who goes to tournaments to just take in wrestling.
I don't want to beat him up or anybody that's interested in it, but I mean, do you really honestly think it's going to be talked about on a sports radio station? Is it covered by ESPN? It's not. I mean, not every sport has to be represented. We talk about the things we think are going to be in general interest to our audience. And that's not one of the things. But hey, we're open-minded. Anthony didn't say thanks for the call and hang up on you. He put you on hold. So you had your opportunity to shout it out. Instead, you ask a ridiculous question on why we're not talking about it. Shout it out and hang up. You're lucky you get that. Because most shows wouldn't even give you that. I guarantee you, call any other radio station, they would say, we're not talking about that, and hang up on you. The fact we put you on hold, is that's the best we can do.
Don, will you do me a favor and talk to me about jewelry?
Well, London Jewelers is hosting their annual wedding band event from Thursday, April 4th through Sunday, April 7th. All wedding bands are 20% off. Brand exclusions may apply. The 2 by London wedding band collection has something for every style and budget. Come in or call for an appointment at any of their locations. Americana Manhasset, Wheatley Plaza, Glen Cove, East Hampton, Southampton, Westfield World Trade Center, and the mall at Short Hills, where you can enter for a chance to win an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night honeymoon for two at any Sandals resort. The best deals are at London Jewelers from April 4th through the 7th.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.